Greg, how are you?
Fantastic. How are you doing this morning,
Tom? I'm doing very well. Tell me what Bankrate.com is and what you do.
Bankrate.com is a personal finance website. What we do is we help consumers make informed financial decisions. We have articles that are published to the site every day dealing with a variety of personal finance topics. We also have free calculators that you can use to figure out how much house you can afford or what's the best way to pay down your credit card debt. And then we also have a free search engine. So if you're looking for the best rate on a money market account, a savings account, lowest rate on a mortgage, we have a free search engine that will help you do that.
All right. A lot of information, a lot of stories have been in Detroit Free Press, the Detroit News lately, talking about that banks are going to hit customers with higher fees and that ATM fees are a part of that. That's going to climb as banks are looking for other revenue. Now, I just had someone on from the American Bankers Association, and she told me that she didn't think that banks were trying to gouge us, that these new rules and regulations were going to hurt banks, and they had to find other ways how to pay for these services that we use. What's your take on that?
Well, a little bit of context first. I mean, for more than a dozen years, we've seen a steady increase in fees for things like the monthly service charge on an interest-bearing checking account, balance requirements, ATM fees, bounce check fees. They've moved up very consistently for years. And so, you know, saying that banks are raising fees is a little bit like saying the sun is rising in the east. It's been going on for a long time, and that trend certainly isn't going to reverse. Now, what's happened of late that's, I think, added some fuel to that trend is the fact that there have been some regulatory changes that are crimping bank revenue in some areas. And so, you know, you're going to end up raising prices in another. I mean, if you owned a burger joint and the government came along and said, well, you can only charge this much for a hamburger, you just raise the price of soda and fries. And so that's kind of what you're seeing here, is that things like free checking that we used to take for granted and used to be available at every bank in town, now less so. Still, it's not going to go away completely, but it's not going to be the commodity that it was, because you're starting to see them account for some of that revenue that they're losing in other areas.
Were these new rules and regulations, one of which is what banks can charge to folks, to businesses who use means for getting funding from charge cards. Were these necessary?
You're referring there to the interchange income.
Correct.
Also known as the swipe fee, and that's the fee that card issuers charge to the merchant every time the consumer swipes that card. Now, merchants have squawked about this one for a long time because it's a significant expense item.
You know, how much?
As more and more people pay with plastic, you know, it racks up a tidy bill for them. And
about how much on an average?
I don't know. We don't survey retailers, so I don't. I mean, on average, it's about 43 cents a transaction. That's just an average. So, particularly for smaller transactions, you know, it takes a bite out of the retailer's profits. However, shifting that burden back by scaling back the interchange incomes, I mean, that's a bill that's ultimately going to get passed on to the consumer. And so, in many cases, that's what we're seeing. Things like debit card reward programs are becoming a casualty of that. We talked about the fact that some banks are scaling back their free checking or just instituting some hurdles that you have to clear in order to have that free checking account. Those are the things that we as consumers have to be on the lookout for, because those changes are afoot.
So is what you're saying, we've been spoiled and now as everything increases in price, we're going to have to pay a little bit more?
Well, I think the importance here is that we are not, as consumers, we are not hostage to these higher fees. Not every bank in town is instituting higher fees, so there's plenty of opportunity to shop around. We also see a greater instance of fee waivers. And so, in other words, where we see a bank that might be eliminating their free checking account, what we are seeing an increase in is the ability to avoid that fee with certain things like direct deposit, having a certain number of accounts or aggregate balances with the bank, those sort of things. And so the first thing I would say to consumers is have your eyes and ears wide open, because changes, you know, if they haven't already happened, they're coming. So be tuned into that. And when you get notice that, okay, your free checking account's not going to be a free account anymore, then the first thing to look at is, okay, Are you able to clear some hurdle that would enable you to get that fee waived or reduced, like having aggregate balances with the bank, or do they have another account that's better suited to your needs? If the answer to that question is no, then it's time to shop around. And again, I think that's really the main takeaway here is these things like free checking accounts and fee-friendly policies, they're not going to go away completely. You're just going to have to shop around a little bit more. Smaller community banks, credit unions, online banks, all of those remain fertile ground for finding fee policies and free accounts that are more in tune with your financial needs.
From your perspective, do banks have money to loan, and are they loaning that money?
Yeah, they have money to loan. I think that what gets overlooked a lot of times is the demand side of the equation. What's happened is that the demand has dropped off. A lot of the very creditworthy borrowers aren't looking to borrow money right now. People are still nervous about the economy. They're nervous about their jobs. They're reluctant to stick their neck out. And so even though banks may be willing to lend, they're only willing to lend to the really squeaky clean borrowers. And a lot of those squeaky clean borrowers aren't looking to borrow money right now. So, over time, provided the economy continues to improve, the demand will pick up and that money will get lent out. But in the meantime, yeah, you've got banks sitting on a whole lot of money and it's not getting lent out. Not because they're unwilling, but just because the truly creditworthy borrowers who they want to lend it to, by and large, they're not looking to take on more debt.
We're talking with Greg McBride from Bankrate.com. Greg, a couple more questions before I let you go. Here in the state of Michigan, we're seeing the home market still sluggish. It's a buyer's market. What's it look like nationally, and is this situation going to improve?
Nationally, it looks much the same. I mean, of course, Michigan, much like Florida, where I live, is sort of the poster child for the real estate downturn, very elevated levels of foreclosure, even relative to the national averages. There are still some very clear headwinds to the housing market. Unemployment is very high. There is what's known as a large shadow inventory, that is, homes that are in various stages of foreclosure that haven't yet been turned back over onto the market. And those are the kind of things that weigh on home prices. However, we are seeing an uptick in cash buyers in a lot of markets around the country. And that tells me that there's a perception of value out there. So, you hear these forecasts that home prices are going to fall another 15% or 20%. I personally don't subscribe to that theory because of the fact that we're seeing such an uptick in cash buyers right now that there are people that are willing to step in and snap up properties because they perceive some level of value at this level. So I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory that home prices are going to drop by double digits. That's not to say that they're going to rise anytime soon either because of the fact that we have those fairly significant headwinds.
How much longer do you think we'll be in the place we're at now?
Well, I'll tell you what's key. I mean, people don't really like to hear this, but, the sooner we can get these properties turned over and get people in them that are going to pay the bills and pay their property taxes and their property insurance, the sooner the housing market rebounds. Slowing the foreclosure process, because of paperwork issues, that's making the problem worse, not making the problem better. The foreclosure process in many states now takes as much as 2 years from the time somebody stops making payments. And look, that's, city taxes aren't being paid, property insurance isn't being paid, homeowners associations aren't being paid. Every time you see firefighters getting laid off,
all right, Greg,
you have to look back at that.
Greg, thanks so much for your time. We've got to get to break. Greg McBride from Bankrate.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.